Hey, it looks like we're live now. Mountain West Connection here. After about 8 seconds of it saying starting, we are I'm going to have a discussion with Blog Talk Radio momentarily, but thank you, Google Plus, for cooperating. This is Jeremy Moss hanging out with Chris Andres, who's back. MWCConnection.com. If you somehow stumble upon us on YouTube, that's us talking Mountain West football. So, yeah. The theme song may or may not be added, so we'll see. I may not have time or want to have the time to do that, but we're back.
Chris is back. I may in the process of moving and getting everything crazy ready. I may create a new theme song. I'm not sure.
Ooh, interesting. We'll have to stay tuned for that, folks. Maybe we'll debut that if there is such a new theme song, because I honestly have known nothing about it. Maybe when we do our big season preview, could that be when it comes out?
Actually, that would be the perfect time for it to come out.
So we'll see.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Absolutely. I coughed, so I muted. That's what happened if you heard something. Yes, that's why I went quiet. I had to sneeze. So let's get to the show. Today, we're talking our third attempt at San Jose State football. Maybe that's telling us something, right? Do we need to skip the Spartans altogether?
No. We didn't skip the Spartans. We just kind of
had some issues.
Forgot about them.
No, we didn't forget about them. I'll fully blame Blog Talk Radio at the moment until I get a satisfactory answer about their upgrades, which are total crap. But we'll talk Spartans. We'll talk Mountain West Media Day. So that's upcoming Tuesday and Wednesday. And yeah, if you heard our other part of the show, it's still out there. If you want to hear the first 10 minutes, it's a glorious mess for the most part, in my opinion, since Chris keeps dropping. I'm apparently not there for half the time. So you could piece together what you want, but let's go back to my real question I was asking you. The big news at Media Day, we know there's going to be 1 to 2 questions on realignment or BYU. Would you care to guess what publication will discuss that first? Or what school they come from?
Oh, obviously, probably the Deseret News.
Yeah, the Deseret News, but are they going to send anybody down there?
No.
That's a good question, because as far as I know, I need to look further, but I don't believe they have a specific person covering Utah State football. Salt Lake Tribune does. There's a bunch of radio stations going down there from Utah. So you think it's going to be somebody from Utah that'll ask the question?
Oh, probably.
I'm guessing it could be Colorado, somebody from Colorado State, because there's been some chatter or minor stuff about CSU being, it's basically one of those things when who should the Big 12 consider? Oh, maybe Colorado State, just because Colorado used to be in the conference and they're kind of in the area. And I don't think it'd be Matt Stevens from the Coloradian, but he might be the guy. If I had to put money on something, I might put money toward him being the guy to ask some sort of question about that. Just because of what they've written over the past couple weeks. But we know it's going to happen, right? That's a dead given, correct?
Absolutely.
Should we make a bingo card like some people do for Media Day and see what gets filled out? Because that would be the center square, in my opinion. Realignment.
For Mountain West Media Day?
Yeah.
Oh, we have to make a bingo card for that.
And that's your kind of thing. Do you have time for that?
I might.
We'll see what we can do. We should do that. But we'll have a bunch of coverage for that. We do have some news about a particular person on our website. We can't announce yet, but that'll be out soon. So congrats to them. So we'll see how that goes. So if you're listening, I didn't say anything, but some good stuff happened to them. And
I feel like some good stuff is happening to like all or at least like our bigger writers, you know, with what happened to Matt earlier last year and why he hasn't been here.
Matt Bain.
Yeah, Matt Bain.
You mean because he's with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this summer? Is that what you mean? That thing? Yeah. So, yeah, we've had a few guys do some good things. So that's excellent to always hear that going on. But they want to announce it, so we'll wait for that to happen. So that'll be good for them. But a media day, I actually think there's going to be news because there's, what, 2 schools that officially named a quarterback as their starter? Is that correct?
Something like that. And that's the thing about media days. Not only is it just kind of like, oh, what is this? What's going to happen this? What's going to happen? Let's interview the coach. Da, 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 da. But there will inevitably be some like starting positions named that are going to be
depth
huge.
Depth charts will be out.
Yes, they will.
Because the only schools we know, Norm Chow will brag about Max Whittick to anybody who'll listen within earshot. And then the other school, I believe, I'd have to look, but I think it's Nate Romine of Air Force is the only two official starting quarterbacks named, because San Jose State will get to us probably Joe Gray. Utah State's probably Chucky Keaton, even though it hasn't been announced, it's almost for sure to be him. There's only been a couple of schools. Like Boise State, we have no idea. Wyoming, it could be the Indiana transfer, good chance to be that person. It's probably Zach Greenlee at Fresno. It's Max Smith at San Diego State, probably. It's just a lot of probablys. It's probably Blake Decker at UNLV, Nick Stevens.
We still have no clue about Boise, yeah, whether Finley gets off or not.
Yeah, and that's been pushed back till – I think it's been – I thought that already happened. I thought it was late July, but maybe we'll look and see. But we don't know punishment, if any. So that's the news will probably come out. I want to ask you this. I sent out a survey to all of our writers, and hopefully we'll get that up Monday. As for a preseason like player of the year, have you looked at my nominees who I had on there?
I did not. I should probably do that real quick, huh?
Yeah, pull it up real quick. I put about 6 or 7 guys, because there's a handful. And we are doing our top 50 countdown as well, so probably be the number one player there, most likely, who will be getting that. But I
what,
put
how
a
is
handful.
Blake Decker not on this list?
Really? Come on. Since you have the list in front of you, tell me if who I put on there is appropriate, because I can't change it now. But I think I have enough players on there to be consider for the at least who will be in consideration for votes for the all conference preseason offensive player of the year.
You want my honest opinion?
Well, tell I don't have it pulled up, so tell the people who I put on the list.
He put Donnell Pumphrey, running back San Diego State, Chucky, quarterback Utah State, Max Whittick, quarterback Hawaii, wide receiver Rashard Higgins from Colorado State, Devontae Boyd, wide receiver UNLV, Martez Waller, running back Fresno State, Jarrell Presley, running back New Mexico, and Jacoby Owens, running back for Air Force. I would say that all but two are appropriate to get preseason player of the year.
Okay, the two players I added that I wasn't too sure on or really wanted to put on there, I kind of put Jacoby Owens just because.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say.
It's the running back position is deep. I just to put an Air Force guy in there, another opinion on to be on the list, another option. And I guess my other one, it came down to two. Honestly, I probably could have left off. I could have left off Chucky Keaton and Max Whittick as well.
I think Whittick deserves to stay on there. I think Martez Waller is kind of that we're not sure exactly.
Part of it is because last year they had Josh Quezada. Those two guys split, but it's really more Waller. I kind of think he'll have I'm going off potential. Same with Whittick. Could be the guy, but I'm telling right now, I'm going to vote for Donald Pumphrey. It better be Donald Pumphrey. The only other honest option it should be, it really should be Donald Pumphrey or Rashard Higgins. Those are the only two options I think that should be picked.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I'm a fan of Whittick, and getting Whittick kind of a preseason player of the year vote, because I think given the right terms, he will do mean things to opponents. And Hawaii might not make a bowl game, but it won't be because of Whittick.
Yeah, and they also got Marcus Kemp as one of the top wide receivers as well. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out there, because Phil still put Max Whittick number one. It's got to be Pumphrey. I think it was when I was with David Fricker talking about the Aztecs. He could be to lead the nation of rushing, possibly.
Yeah.
So it's going to be him. So run off the do you want to run off the defensive names really quick? I know I put quite a few more.
Yeah. So the defensive names that are on here, Ian Sayal, linebacker, Nevada, Kyler Fackrell, linebacker, Utah State, Nick Vigil, linebacker, Utah State, Kamale Correa, defensive line, Boise State, Eddie Yarbrough, defensive line, Wyoming, Darian Thompson, defensive back, Boise State. Dante Dion, defensive back, Boise State. Penny Vea, defensive back UNLV, JJ Whitaker, defensive back San Diego State, I hate you, Weston Steelhammer, defensive back Air Force, Corey James, linebacker Colorado State, Trent Matthews, defensive back Colorado State. Obviously, as you can see, it's a much, much more competitive nature, and all those guys, are going to rip up the stats. I mean, everybody in there.
Who would you pick? Oh, I know people can blame us for being Boise State homers, but they have the best defense with, what, 8 starters back. And so who would you take right now?
Oh, they're going to absolutely. and not be a homer?
I don't care. You can pick who you want. Because
my easy homer pick right now is Kamalei Correa.
I could see that.
But honestly, if I were to look at a quote unquote like more objective
Penny Vea, right?
No. Funny enough, God, I'm going to kick myself for saying this. Ian Saya.
You know what? I'm in the same neighborhood as you. Here's the three guys. If I'm going in order, like the three guys who I think can make a big difference, I got Ian Saya. I like Kyler Fackrell because if he didn't tear his knee up, he'd be the NFL right now. He'd have been like a first or second round pick in an NFL training camp next week. And then I'd probably go with either Dante Dion or Weston Steelhammer. I know Steelhammer had one or two really big games, but he got a lot of PBUs throughout the season. But I think I'd go Dion, Fackrell, Sale as my top three choices.
So, and so here's the thing. I don't know how, like, you've been to events and you've voted your MVPs and all that stuff, right, as a member of the media?
A couple times, yeah.
Okay. I've always voted, whenever I have done, I've always voted purely on the, not just stats, but the impact that that player had for their team, whether win or lose.
That was why in the Mountain West Media, basketball real quick, hold on. Didn't we both vote for Chris Wood as for the All-Conference Mountain West Tournament? Even though he played two games. And I'm same with you. He had two really big games. I felt he was one of the best 5 players out there.
Exactly.
Sorry, you can continue. I just wanted to jump in for a second.
So, that's why, people are like, oh, Boise State, you're choosing Kamalei Correa. Well, like I said, that's the homer pick, but obviously he has enough stats, and even if you looked at him last year, he was providing enough impact on the defensive side of the ball to make an impact for his team. Ian Sale last year, Brock Hecking, both of those guys did that. Kyler Fackrell, Nick Vigil. Like, every single member that you named who came back from last year's defensive unit could easily be evil. Even Penny Vea, when he wasn't injured, had a huge impact on how UNLV's defense played.
Yeah, he has talent, but because of the team he plays for, I know he won't be the choice. Who did? Yeah. Wasn't it? I should have looked up. But wasn't Weston Steelhammer the defensive player of the year last year?
I want to say he was, or at least I voted for him.
Real quick, sorry, we're gonna look this up because I'm really interested now. So this will become a San Jose State show momentarily. This is the last little bit we'll chat about for media days, but there'll be some news, there'll be some press conferences, there'll be some depth charts, there'll be obviously a realignment question here or there. We'll have a schedule posted. We'll have all sorts of updates for everybody to chat about and comment about and do what you want about. Let's see here. The Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year last year was, as my internet loads and loads and loads. I do think it's still Hammer, but... Oh, come on. Maybe this is why Blog Talk Radio is not working. It's my internet connection.
Wait, so it's your fault?
No. My internet's being weird at the moment, so. Also, I have a flag, and I guess that's on me for going to the website when I do my search, but regardless of who it is, this league, we know it's offense, but this year could be a defensive year because – Boise will have probably the best defense. Utah State will be right there. Air Force is improving. And then San Diego State will have a very good defense as well. So there's going to be more defense than we've had in the past couple of years. It was actually Zach Vigil as defensive player of the year. That's who it was. And he's no longer in the program. We got his brother, Nick, there. So That's all. I don't think there's any more we should discuss about me today. Look for our poll. We'll have out tomorrow. We'll do a few other things on that, but check out our coverage for that. But let's get to San Jose State, who has possibly – okay, do you know who their offensive defensive coordinators are, correct?
God, why must you continuously bring this up every single time we talk about San Jose State? You know who their offensive coordinator is. You know their defensive. Hey, cool. Guess what? Hey, you know what? If I learn how to play football, maybe I can actually coach. Hey, you know what? I can be such a good. Nobody cares. The Gerg is horrible. Al Borges is horrible. Both of those guys are horrible. Why Ron Carragher continued to say, "Oh, let's hire these guys as coordinators." I have no clue.
That might be our new show.
My God.
I'm gonna save that for our open at some point. Okay, so you do know who they are. So you know it is Al Borges and Greg Robinson. So, and yes. Borges is the new guy there. So I'm just making sure. Because those are possibly those are two well-known coaches who haven't done much in the past couple of years. So let's start off with the two things which you and me already know. You'll probably, if I give you one sentence to describe the inefficiency of the Spartans offense, what would it be?
Do you want to rephrase that?
Let me rephrase it, I guess. So, how would you describe the San Jose State offense with, like, what's their biggest weakness on offense? What was the one thing we kept saying time after time after time the past two seasons about their offense?
Their efficiency in the red zone is like Al Borges and Gerd Robinson coaching.
Exactly. And the defense, they can't stop a marble rolling down the field that's kicking over. So
yeah, pretty much. How can I, like, I'm trying to, like, not use vulgarity.
Let's say this: their rush defense is like Indiana Jones running away from that boulder after him, right? And the boulder is the ball carrier.
Yeah, exactly. So the rush defense is like that, and their red zone offense is like
two magnets with the same polar facing each other, right? Does that work?
Their red zone offense is about as effective as being on the Interstate 405 during rush hour. Now, only Southern Californians will get that, but once you understand what I'm talking about, that's the effectiveness of San Jose State's offense within the red zone.
But you're implying they can actually move forward. I'm going with two magnets on the same side where they push back against each other.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's bad. And the funny thing is, we'll be a little more serious here. They actually have some talent on offense. Joe Gray, probably the starter. Not great. He had 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. But they do actually have one of the better running back wide receiver combos in the conference.
And somehow he's named
Irvin. He plays, I believe.
Yeah, Tyler Irvin. But somehow Joe Gray, yet not being named starter yet, is named to a Manning Award watch list, which either means that they overvalue San Jose State quarterbacks, a.k.a. the David Fales method, or that Gray has shown so much improvement over the offseason that somebody's taken notice and somehow we're not.
I think we're right and they're wrong. I will confidently say that. And then they also have Tyler Winston, wide receiver. So they have, and for those who don't know, our top 50 countdown, those two players have not been named yet. So we think reasonably high of those two players. So they have talent. But Al Borges, to give him credit, he did some decent things at San Diego State with Brady Hoke.
Oh, of course.
And so it's just him failing miserably
in Michigan. And then when both him and Hoke moved to Michigan, they both got worse. And I'm not saying, oh, it's because Hoke went to Michigan and Borges went to Michigan. No. Literally, their coaching style somehow deteriorated into, like, biodegradable crap.
They didn't have their players. They just basically tried to force stuff at Michigan. So they didn't slow. What they should have done, not to, this is going back years, but do it like Rocky Long did, or when new people, coaches come in. work with what you have, then slowly move your offense to what you want it to be. You can't force it from day one.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe Al Borges learned something coming to San Jose State now, taking a step down, even a step down from San Diego State. Maybe he'll find something about that, but it's too early to tell. But the offense, it's going to be the same. It's going to be a lot of passing with Joe Gray because he completed, what I believe, about 65% of his passes. It's just between once he got to the 25-yard line or so, that just stopped. And then he had interception.
It just decided to die.
Yeah. Poor, whatever it may be, poor overall offense, whatever it may be, they couldn't run the ball that well. They couldn't pass all that well. Like Tyler Irvin, he's going to be the starting running back. He only had 888 yards last year, yet he averaged over 5.5 a carry and over 6 after he got hit by, like, basically yards after contact, 6.2. So it's like he can move the ball, but they only a handful of touchdowns. They have Jared Lawson back there. You would think that running attack could be better, but I can name this whole show should be the potential of San Jose State is there, but will it really matter? That should be the name of the theme for their season.
Oh, absolutely, and that's really what it is. And we know that the running game is going to be decent. We know that Gray, if he's named the starter, which he should, Gray's going to do pretty well. I'll be confident in saying that. We know that Tyler Winston is going to be one of the top wide receivers in the nation. The key is, can this team score within the 20-yard line?
It's not also that, but they have Hansel Wilson, 39 receptions, Tim Crawley, 35 receptions, Irvin out of the backfield, 29 receptions. They have a potent attack.
And so I think this is one thing that's going to help them. Okay? Offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You have Wes Schweitzer returning, senior. You got Nate Velico, who started all of the games last year as a sophomore. So he was new last year.
Freshman.
Evan Sarver was new last year. Jeremiah Cologne was new last year. You know, those guys were basically first-time starters most of the time last year. And so that's going to be an experienced offensive line. What you have to realize, though, is that the backup center, if Cologne goes down, is a guy who's never really seen time on the field.
Well, as Doug Blacksill, but he's also a senior, though, so he's played.
Exactly. So he's played, whether on the practice team or not. So, but still, it's different from seeing field time action versus, you know, practice action.
That's the thing. They have what? What's that? I think that's 59 career starts back. Great. But after that, they have zero returning. After those 59 starts, zero career starts out of anybody on the offensive line. So depth is an issue. So if there's anybody that goes down, unless you're an upperclassman, like you said, they have mop-up duty. Who knows how much – I don't have the minutes that they played last year as their backup, if they rotated in or how much. But if anybody goes down like Schweitzer, Sarver, Cologne, anybody, they're basically – it's a newbie starting on that line. So they have – it's like with most teams within – you're not a power school. Your starters are there. The depth is not. But this depth here is extremely thin, and that could be an issue. If they're healthy – you're right. This offense has potential to be pretty good, especially playing in a West division that's not all that great.
So let's go ahead and move on to the defense, because I want to play hypotheticals once we get to the schedule.
Excellent.
So defense, rush defense was pretty bad, and that was even with Travis Rasidi back.
Yeah, and he's gone. Garrett Guanala is gone, their second offensive line, defensive line. Vince Bugar is gone. So they had some good talent on there, but those guys are gone, and I'm scared for this defense.
This is an experienced defense returning, but that being said, experienced defense does not mean
good.
Like starters. Look at that front seven. Look at that front seven. You have Cedric Lucy, who is a starter last year. You have Tony Popovich, who I think started half the time last year.
10 games.
No, he played in 10 games. That doesn't mean he started.
Oh, I thought. Sorry, I misread that. I thought those games started. You're correct.
Yeah. And then You got some more experienced guys. Then when you have, and then Bouhajir, who was really the dominant linebacker, although Christian Tego was even more dominant, he kind of came out of nowhere. Christian Tego is going to be leading this front seven, and then afterwards, okay, you have William Osei, who played in all 12 games last year, but really didn't do much. Neither did Isaiah Irvin. They weren't really effective as they could have been, and I think that's because they were further down on the depth chart. They kept rotating it out. And so it comes back to depth. It comes back to who's the next guy up who's going to be making these tackles. Christian Tego will be there, yeah. Okay, so then who's going to be next to Tego? Osei or Irving? Okay, after Osei or Irving, okay, who's the next guy? And
Maurice
then you
McKnight.
see. Exactly.
Safety.
Exactly. So, but I mean, and then absolutely, you look at the secondary and like half the guys from last year are gone. So
However,
that's going to take
that
a hit into the
secondary,
pass defense.
their secondary is always pretty good, though.
Their secondary is always pretty good, but this is a time
Cleveland
to worry.
Wallace. Cleveland Wallace is pretty good. 14 breakups, man. Come on. Gotta
Okay,
respect that.
basic rule of football though. Okay,
Go shoot.
if
No,
you're
I said
able
shoot.
to
Go ahead.
successfully, if you're able to successfully be one-dimensional, such as many teams were against San Jose State last year, by just utilizing the run,
Minnesota.
and you're
Minnesota.
exactly, and you just start okay, and then you finally have the guys to kind of plug up the run after a while, then what does that do? That opens up the pass. Right,
Yeah,
so finally you plug up the run, then you open up the pass, and then what happens? This defense is, it needs to be good, and it needs to be good fast.
I don't know if it will. Like you said, they have players who played, but it's like, yeah, who cares if you bring back 11 of 11 starters and you're the 125th defense in the country. Not saying this is the Spartans, but just, like you said, just because you bring people who played back last year doesn't mean the production will increase. Experience helps with that. Theoretically, it should be better, but we're not 100% sure it will be better.
Now, with that being said, San Jose State recruited hard, and they recruited super hard to obviously have one of the best mid-major recruitment classes in the country. They recruited better than Iowa, and
Wait, wait,
what
wait.
they went,
Hold on.
they did.
They recruited too well, because Kanye Bell's kicked off the team for a domestic battery. So they're getting Florida State type players on their team to be kicked off the
But
team.
it doesn't matter, right? You said it yourself. They've got a whole bunch of freshmen in the defensive back area who could possibly be super exciting to watch. And so, one of these guys is kind of tired or winded. You have
Recruited
a
well. I
very
just
good
kind of.
chance. You have a very good chance to see Teyon Mason, either pick up a start or pick up some stats, and people are gonna be like, "And that's how did San Jose State recruit him?" In fact, we're still asking ourselves that.
Well, I remember we spoke with I wish I knew his name. He does stuff for Scout for San Jose State. I don't recall the coach's name either, which is poor on me for not knowing either name. But the base their second their defensive back coach is basically their is a extremely good recruiter for San Jose State. So he was the guy to close all these guys to come in. Didn't matter what position, he would close the deal to get these guys to come. And also, I believe they got all but 22 of 25 were from the state of California. There's no point for them to leave the state to find talent. And they stayed in state, and that's part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the defensive back, while we're kind of concerned about them, and while I'm really concerned about them, you do have these brand new, freshly recruited guys who are basically superstars, talking 3 and 4 star athletes, who should be able to pick up the slack no matter what. And that'll be fine once it gets to conference play, but once, I mean, non-conference play, you're going to have to see them take a big step forward very quickly.
They just need
So,
to really quick. I think just that rush defense has to improve. You just can't be that bad. And I get it kind of varied they played against, but they're just giving up offense yards to anybody. But let's two more things. Like I mentioned, I'm kind of glad the show got delayed a little bit just because of news we had. Like I said earlier before, Kanye Bell Jr., four-star wide receiver, kicked off the team, this, what, 2 weeks ago. And then there was a dorm fight between – I'm trying to find the names here, but they had another player kicked off the team for fighting. So they lost a few players. But Kanye Bell, he wasn't listed on their two deep anywhere, but I'm pretty sure being the talent he was going to go to USC, was going to go to Washington State, ended up at San Jose State because, if I recall, he really liked their uniforms. And that was a big deal why he decided to come. But he's gone, so – that may have been more hurt them down the road, but having fights like that, you got to give it a good hand to Carragher for, I don't care what happened, you're off my team for fighting or whatever you're doing, you're gone right away. And they don't care how good you are or could be on that team. So good for them for doing that to keep everything in line, because that could be, you don't want to have that stuff bad going on. The other guy here, it's the name's pulled up here. It is another freshman, Bomani Bassett Hairston, a defensive back. So he's no longer on the team either. Two incoming freshmen. So this is probably something, you're a freshman, you have no room for error at all, so you're gone. So that's fine. So that's who they lost. But let's get to games. San Jose State, they play football games this year in the Mountain West Conference. Sorry, I'm trying to stall to open up the schedule here. Do you have the schedule pulled up? Because I was about to be ready, but I'm not apparently.
I do. Yes, I do.
New Hampshire. That's what it is. New Hampshire.
Yay, no two to. With the blue. Hold on.
What do you know?
I think they actually have a blue field.
That might be correct as well. I think there's a couple schools that have it. I think it's in – it might be a Connecticut school, I'm thinking, but whatever. This should be a win for San Jose State. And then we will know if their rush defense is any better. As I said, we're not going to go through every game. We do hypotheticals, but Air Force – Week 2, conference play starting right away. It's on ESPNU Saturday night. That'll be the game. That's not them? It's not New Hampshire?
No. Nope.
Who is it? Do you have it or not?
I do not have it on the phone. Okay. It's not important. Continue. Not important. Air Force.
Air Force. We'll know if they improved at all in the rush defense. Because last year they gave up, when they played Navy, they gave up, what, 400-plus yards to Navy on the ground. Gave up a lot to... I don't know if they played Air Force last year, but we'll know. And there's no way that could be a win for them to start conference playoff, correct?
Yes. So that'll be the ultimate test on at least not just if their defense has improved, but maybe if they can be a sleeper contender in the West Division.
Which is possible because the West is, like we said, not very good. Then, like, this next stretch will be tough. They go to Oregon State. They host Fresno. They go to Auburn. Oregon State has a new head coach. They have Gary Anderson there, who came over from Wisconsin, formerly Utah State. They lost Sean Mannion. They have a quarterback battle there. But San Jose State probably is not going to win the game, because if you look through who – everybody basically that's brought into Oregon State has either coached against the Mountain West or knows that team very well. Like, they brought in Kalani Sitake, coach when he's back in the Utah. I brought in a couple guys from Colorado State. They brought in a guy from Utah State to be on part of that staff. So they're familiar with San Jose State, and the talent's obviously better. So no need to discuss. Who would you say is a tougher game, hosting Fresno or going to Air Force? Because that's their next
going opponent. Hosting Fresno because it's rivalry.
Okay. Is this the oil can game?
This is the V game.
The V game for the Valley. What's the oil can game? What is that, a Mountain West thing?
That is San Diego State, Fresno State.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense because you need gas can to get up down the street.
Yeah.
So Fresno, when we do these previews, it's hard to speculate because – we kind of know what Fresno has, but we don't. We're just kind of going off speculation at all. And the way Fresno played last year, I don't give them too much credit. The only West team I'm really confident at all is really San Diego State. And that helps when you have Donald Pumphrey.
Yeah, exactly. You aren't confident in UNLV to do poorly?
Well, good one.
I'm not confident.
You like Tony Sanchez.
I do like Tony Sanchez, but, you know, we don't expect much out of UNLV. But at the same time, who knows what that's going to bring? I mean, a 3-win season could be widely successful.
Sure. I was going with, I know what to expect on the positive end, but you, of course, you like to go the other way. So I don't know. That game, that'll be another good test. But then it's sandwiched, and they go to Auburn. They're not going to win. At UNLV, that's the first half of the schedule is like every other game. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. And at that point, we'll know what UNLV is, I guess, week 6, week 5.
Exactly. And so this comes back to UNLV or San Jose State, either one of those teams, two teams are essentially going to be the bottom feeders of the Mountain West this year. And so 6 weeks in, we'll know exactly what both these teams are. And to this point, we shouldn't expect San Jose State to have won. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking San Jose State might only be 1-4 by the time they play UNLV.
Yeah, so I was thinking 1, maybe 2.
Maybe and 2.
I'm stretching that Fresno State game.
Yes, yeah.
They're not be. Yeah, that's where they're at. Then UNLV.
But realistically, you're looking at 1-4 right now.
That's where I'd go. I would say 1-4, but if I'm being positive, I could see them sneaking out another game because Fresno was up and down. Fresno won 6 games last year. They were 6-8. They weren't very good. They played. They are the quarterback team of the conference for a reason.
Exactly.
And so that's. I'm going to lean Fresno, but obviously one's probably the case. Then UNLV that probably could be a win. Then they got San Diego State, is tough. You and me are extremely high in New Mexico. They host BYU. That's going to be a tough one after a bye week. At Nevada. Nevada can run the ball to pistol. Going to Hawaii is never easy. Then they end with Boise State. Honestly, this realistically, I'm not to put a sour, San Jose State could win just one game this year.
Yeah, I see it.
Because if you think about it, if we're high in New Mexico. We like think them be better, as most people a little bit. At Hawaii, people like Max Wittick and Marcus Kemp, people are liking that. They probably
will. And when you play at Hawaii, that presents a challenge. Once again, presents a challenge on its own. 3-hour difference.
Even from the West Coast, you're right there on the water. Right there in San Jose, San Francisco, Bay Area. You're still far. It's like flying from there to what? Almost East Coast, even from the West Coast. It's pretty much the same type of deal.
Exactly.
What games would you like, if you were to give me 3 games, what 3 winnable games that you're confident that Spartans could have?
That they're going to win?
Yeah. And we will include New Hampshire in that mix. What other 2 games would you pick? So, yeah, I feel they could win that game.
None of them. None of them? Even at UNLV. Even at UNLV, I'm not confident that San Jose State could completely, conceivably win. And I'm not saying that because I like UNLV. I'm saying that because UNLV and San Jose State are equally bad at this point in time. So they have a 50-50 shot. And you're not on your home turf.
I would include UNLV in one of those winnable games because who's running the ball for UNLV? Is that still their weakness? It doesn't matter who it actually is, but UNLV's, even with Shaquille Murray Lawrence, they haven't had a good running back since Tim Cornette a couple years ago, or Tim Connett. If they don't have a guy running the ball and they're forced to throw more, even with Devontae Boyd back there, who's very good, that's still strength versus strength. But then again, we could also say, who cares for running the ball? The San Jose State defense, like a wet paper bag, it doesn't matter. They could put whoever in run, so you could look at it either way, but I honestly think they could beat UNLV, and if I'm picking one other game, I would still pick Hawaii because Hawaii hasn't shown me anything historically. I will know more by that last couple weeks of the season, but if I'm picking 3 games I'm reasonably confident they could win, I would be Hawaii, UNLV, and New Hampshire. Even though Hawaii is a road game, as is playing UNLV.
Interesting.
So is your official prediction 1-11?
I'll be nice. I'll say 2-10.
Then you gotta give me a second team then. You tell me no teams that are gonna
I don't
be.
have to. I don't have to give you a second team.
Come on.
No. Think about it this way, right? I don't have to give you a second team because, like I said, I'm not 100% sure that they can win the second game. That is not to say that they cannot, completely just surprise me and pull out a second and third win.
I get you. No, I'm screwing with it. But no, I know what you mean. Like, I'm not even saying UNLV in Hawaii. Well, I'm reasonably confident. I'm not reasonably confident that'll happen. So as for the team, I'll be confident. I think there'll be enough improvement. I believe they'll get three wins somehow.
Okay.
Because the West is just so awful. UNLV's because really, are you confident they can beat? I know it's on
and,
the road.
And now you're listening. And you're listening to like half the people from the West. You say the West is the West. You always say the West. You always say the Mountain. The Mountain.
Well,
is
it's
the,
true.
It's a better conference, but we have a better way. And I'm not ever listening to this podcast again. Dude, deal with it. Up until the fact
should I not say that?
Until Fresno State and Nevada completely get a hell of a lot better again, and San Diego State isn't the only banner carrying, we should be able to win this conference of the West Division, the Mountain is still better than the West. But that being said, even with San Diego State, it's almost as if anybody like you roll a six-sided die,
and almost
anybody can win.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see
San Jose State can completely surprise us this year, go 6-6 and make a bowl game.
Because if you listen to us 20 minutes ago, we are I think we're both reasonably or cautiously optimistic their offense could be quite special. Right?
Exactly.
With who they have returning. Like I said, they're skilled players. Irvin and Winston, tops in the Mountain West. That combo I would put up against almost any team for running back receiver because San Diego State has just running back. Colorado State just has receiver. Boise State has just receivers. Running back, we don't know. There's not – well, Hawaii has Marcus Kemp, Max Whittick. They don't have running and passing. San Jose State's one of the few schools that has both – that they could do well in. And so with that combination, with the amount of starters back in the offensive line, and worst kept secret, it's going to be Joe Gray quarterback, cut down on those interceptions, there is a chance it'd be good. But also, on the other side, their defense won't improve as much as they need to, and their offense I don't think is capable of what it was with David Fells a couple years ago to score 45 or 50 points a game to win. And that's where it comes to. Their defense has to make some stops. Secondary's there, but it comes down to if their running game can be average, I'd probably give them maybe three more wins if their running game's at least average in the Mountain West. Because if they can stop the run, they could beat UNLV. They can probably beat Hawaii, and then they might be able to beat Fresno State. If that rush defense is anything okay and the offense is what we think it could be. Because right now the defense is so bad, I don't trust them, and their offense isn't good enough to score as many points as I said. They're not going to win every shootout. Impossible.
Exactly.
I think we've done quite enough. Do you have anything else to add about the Spartans or anything?
No. I hope they make a bowl game, but it's probably not going to happen.
I hope they make a bowl game. We'll see. This will be, not to be a downer to end the show, like we're saying only a couple wins, but here's the thing too, real quick. Their easier games are all away from home. UNLV, Nevada, Hawaii are all away from home. That's an issue for them too.
I love the fact that you put Nevada as an easier game.
Well, for road games, I'm saying. Hey.
Oh, yeah. No, look
Hold
at their
on.
Home slate. Their own slate.
Who's
yeah.
the quarterback? Wait, real quick. Who's Nevada's quarterback? Tell me.
Tyler Stewart. Wait, has he been named a starter yet?
No, they don't have a name to starter yet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Tyler Stewart, and
he should
damn
be.
Damn good guess.
He should be. He probably
damn
won't.
Good guess, but I don't know.
They have Don Jackson, but I'm just saying comparative who they play at home, like San Diego, if you can flip San Diego State and Nevada, that's probably a win. Switch San Diego State, Hawaii, play New Mexico, even though we like New Mexico, putting them on the road, that gives them a better, you know what I mean? I'm just spitballing, kind of saying they get tougher games at home in Fresno and San Diego State and Boise State and BYU.
No, I get it.
Does that even make sense, or am I not making sense at all?
No, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, it's making sure I'm not going crazy. Because I remember my schedule thing for Nevada last year kind of blew up in my face, where they had every tough game at home, but Spartans aren't competing for a title. But that's what we got for tonight. We're glad you're back, Chris, to join us. Are we, really quick, let's do some on our business. Are we going to do some sort of recapping media day, or should we roll that into our next show for UNLV football?
Probably for the next show.
Okay, we'll roll it into one big show like this.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, probably. I like your assertiveness on that. Probably. We might do that. So that's for Christine. Probably. I'm gonna go and say that's a yes. That will, unless there's something crazy and we have time to talk to do that later this week. This will probably be a combo UNLV preview show. Recap a mountain with me today like we have been tonight. So check us out. I can say for certainty we'll be on SoundCloud and iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to throw a hammer at you and see what happens. But check us out there. Always MWCConnection.com. Same on Facebook, Twitter. Just search for that. You'll find us. We're doing our top 50 countdown. And, yeah, check us out for media day coverage. We'll see you guys next week, and we'll let you know when we record and how so you guys can listen. So we'll see you guys next time, and have a good week. I think it's done, maybe.
I still see life.
So be quiet. Shh.